Hey, Geekscapists, welcome to a brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm Jonathan London. I'm your host. Hi, how are you doing? Maybe this is your first Geekscape and you're like, hey, I found this on my podcatcher and I want to know all about movies, video games, comics, TV shows, all of that stuff. Well, you came to the right place. Maybe you're like in Senegal and you're like, I want to know what the top 10 film interview podcast is all about. And so you found our show. That's right. We are number 10 there. Or maybe it's like Albania or something. I don't know. But I will say that the numbers have been great on Geekscape. We actually have had the best numbers we've ever had. And this is a 15-year-old show. So if you're listening to this and you've been with us since the beginning, I really don't know what's going on. I just know that maybe it's the fact that we've accrued almost 1,000 episodes and someone's downloading them somewhere every day. Or maybe it's the fact that I've just been having a blast. We've been doing a lot of episodes, and if you're having trouble keeping pace, I will slow down a little bit. It's just that, well, pop culture isn't slowing down. We've had some big releases, like the Book of Boba Fett wrapped up. We had to talk about that. Peacemaker over on HBO Max wrapped up. We had to talk about that. So those two specials are over in your feed. And then also, we had some cool guests, like Jonah Tullis had a film come out all about the GameStop stock phenomenon that happened last year. Sorry, my buddy had a movie out. I had to talk about it. And then our friends at The Stereo have that Kickstarter going on. And they're a band that I've loved since, well, they started in 1999. They played my radio show then. And we had a reunion of sorts last week on the show. So I couldn't exactly say, like, hey, can you come back in 3 weeks? The Kickstarter's there. Pre-order their album. I've listened to that first single, and it's really great. And I love those guys. I had a lot of feedback on that episode. People saying, like, this was fantastic. It's a music episode, too. So sometimes we're going to talk to you about music, just sometimes movies, sometimes it's going to be an interview, or sometimes it's going to be like what you're about to get right now, which is an interview show. No, not an interview show. Sorry, scratch that. It's going to be a news and review show. We've got our good friend Liz Sadas on the show. She's an actress. You may have heard her. If you're like our good friend Derek Kranevelt, who hosts our Xbox Game Passenger show, you're probably a big fan because she does this game. I think it's called Oxenfree. She did the second game, Oxenfree. And I just remember Derek talking about how great this game was. And he reviewed the first one on Geekscape Games back in the day. So when Katie, who's also going to be on the show, my co-host, said, hey, my friend Liz, like, she's like VO'd a ton of games and stuff, I was like, you know what, let's get her on the show. If only so that Derek is like, oh, cool, I love this episode. All right, I want to get started, but real quick, we're going to have a lot of fun today. I have to say a few words real quick. My good buddy Wayne Chiang, this is going to be a little bit of a downer, Geekscapist, but, and maybe you did not know the man. Maybe you did because I was a guest on his show a few times, but Wayne Chiang is the guy who started Podfest Asia. And sadly, I found out that he died this morning. Wayne was a really, really good guy. So I'm just going to like talk about him here for a few seconds, and then we're going to start the show. I met Wayne a little bit over a year ago, and he invited me onto his live stream. And what Wayne would do is, he's out of Singapore, and he was kind of new to podcasting, but he was such an enthusiast. What he would do is he would start like these 24-hour live streams on places like StreamYard. Maybe you're watching us on YouTube, Twitch, or Facebook right now through StreamYard. And he would invite a ton of podcasters on and schedule them in like 30-minute increments because he just loved podcasting and he wanted to meet as many people as possible. So I was a guest on his show. He had a ton of musicians on his show. He was a big rock person. He was in bands like Nirvana and Ministry and U2. And he would kind of travel the world going out for rock concerts. And he had like a bucket list of bands he wanted to see. And I hope he really got pretty far on that bucket list because sadly he went to the hospital last week with COVID complications. He had a prior health, I think he had a prior illness, and he didn't come out. His partner said that he passed away. And Wayne, if I can just tell you briefly about him, was, but for the grace of God, like, that's me. Somebody who's incredibly enthusiastic about connecting people, talking to other people about everything they love. And you could tell whenever you heard one of his streams, the guy was a super, super passionate podcaster. And so Wayne, dude, I wish we could have met in person. And cracked on the mics together. And I wish I could have gone to a concert with you or something. But we love you, dude. You were always so supportive of this show. You're supportive of the network. You were super enthusiastic about what we do here on Geekscape. And you were a big supporter to me just in our short time knowing each other. So, Wayne, from one podcaster to another, we dedicate this show to you. I'll continue to dedicate the show to you because every time I throw on this microphone, I'm going to be like, you know what? Whether you're feeling it or not, Jonathan, you got to approach this thing the way Wayne would have. Because he was a real one. So Wayne, I love you, buddy. We're going to get the show started and it's in your name. Right, Geekscape, that's where we are. And you know what? When I posted that we are doing the best that we've ever done with our numbers, somebody asked me, hey, what is like your favorite moment of the last 15 years in podcasting? And I really can't answer that because I like every episode. I like every guest and I like meeting new people. So let's get right to it, Geekscapists. We've got Katie, my co-host. She hasn't been on the show in about 2 weeks. I'm not going to say that's why our numbers have been good. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. But here she is anyway.
Oh, I see how it is.
How are you, Katie?
Okay. Yeah, just exit throughout the Geekscape. All right, fine.
I did miss you, and I was like, I got to get Katie back in here. I got to get her thoughts on movies, video games, comics, and this
all the things. Yeah, no, I'm glad to be back. I know that you had quite a few things, and just want to say my deepest condolences for your friend and for anybody in Geekscape who knew him as well.
Dude, Wayne was awesome. Wayne was a good dude. You know what I wanted? I didn't want to be on Wayne's show another time. I wanted to have Matt Kelly on there. I wanted to throw Matt Kelly at Wayne and see how Wayne responded. Because Wayne's just this dude in Singapore who's like trying to learn how to podcast. He's trying to learn how to stream. And so he's asking me all these questions about like, oh, you've been here from the beginning.
And if I know you, you're not the best with giving advice in podcasting. You tend to get a little bit snarky.
Listen, I don't think podcasting's hard. I don't.
Hear that?
I don't think it's that hard. Like when you walk into Best Buy and they have like starting podcasting kits to like just plug in and start doing, I don't think it's hard. Having something to say and keeping an audience together,
that's a different story.
That's hard. Mm-hmm. But I can't explain that. You just got to start laying down the track and see if the train keeps running. That's it. But Matt Kelly versus Wayne would have been awesome. And so I hope, Wayne, I hope you're good, dude, wherever you are.
Yeah.
You were real. I mean, he really was a real one. The dude was passionate. He wasn't one of these dudes who was like, I want to get into podcasting so I can be Joe Rogan.
No.
You know, that's where I start becoming a jerk when it comes to podcasting. And the people who are like, so when do you get famous?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What?
When you get money. Don't go into podcasting for that.
No, I have some really bad news for you. There's
a lot of money in it.
Everybody and their mom started a podcast during the pandemic. And get the hell out of here.
And you know what? Like I love everybody and their mom.
Podcasting in 2005, I remember there was four of us. Podcasting in 2022, there are too many of us, probably including us. But Katie, I'm glad you're here, and I'm excited for you to take over.
Yeah, man, absolutely. I think we got a lot of fun coming up, though.
All right, speaking of taking over, this thing has just been a white dude party the last couple of weeks. Like,
That's why your numbers have been so good.
Don't say that. Please don't say that. Don't think I haven't been conscious of this. Like, Geekscape is, I don't want to be like those shows where it's like, let's give a white dude a microphone. There's a half white guy right here with this microphone, like half Mexican, half white dude right here that you're listening to. And I added Katie because I wanted like a
female
host.
Gotta get another white person in.
It's not that.
I'm kidding.
No offense, dudes. I didn't want another white dude to be my, like, you know.
Sorry, Incelbot. Ain't happening.
Sorry, but like, We cannot have a podcast network that feels like a freaking frat house. So
because that's how all of them start.
Oh God. Yeah. Like,
no, I know.
You've heard some of these fucking podcasts. Like, we used to have
I've been on.
I'm not going to say the name of the podcast. There have been some nasty allegations going on recently, but when we shared a network, like, yeah. I would be finishing my show and they'd be waiting to come in to do the studio, and they'd be like 15 dudes waiting at the windows to come in. And I used to call them the gangbang show. I was like, it's not, you know what? It probably didn't make any friends for me. Like, they probably didn't like that. I know they didn't like that. They called me and said, will you stop calling us the gangbang show? But I don't want that to be Geekscape. I've never wanted it to be Geekscape. And now that we have 20 shows or so, I like the fact that they're diverse. Okay, let's get to it. The point of it is, I asked Katie whenever we should get a guest, because I know Katie's going to lead me towards a female guest or a diverse guest. And we have one right here. Yes. Her name is Liz Seda. She's amazing. She's a voiceover actress. She's been involved in video games. She's been involved a whole lot. She's an improviser. She's very funny. And I'm going to prove it right now by bringing her on the show. Boom.
Greatest opening.
I am melting under the pressure right now.
I do love that you're also in a room that kind of makes it look like you're in like a panic room.
Yeah, a torture chamber. Yeah, I spend a lot of time in here. So this is my comfort zone.
Yeah,
my fortress of solitude.
Yeah, you could do quite a bit of the VO, and I did mention Oxenfree too, and that's like the one that I've heard of the Oxenfree series because of Derek talking about it on Geekscape Games. But what are some of your other credits? I have them all here, but I think you're better at that. I've been talking too long.
I've been on this train for, I guess, I don't know, 10 or 12 years now. A couple of the other games I've done, I did another game with a Night School Studio. They're great. They're the developers behind Oxenfree and Oxenfree 2, called Next Up Nowhere, where it's basically like a bounty hunter in space. That was fun. Nice. The Evil Within 2, not the first one. I guess I'm big on sequels. Yeah. I was in Wasteland 3.
I don't think you don't waste your time seeing if a franchise is going to take off.
Exactly.
Just drop in the second one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like the Lando Calrissian. You're like, oh, you know what? Yeah. Call me when you all get okay.
I just like to sit back, see how it goes. And then jump on, at the last second.
Jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah, exactly. Brawl Stars is kind of a fun little, I had no idea how popular it was, but it's one of those app games that people love. I'm Hype Piper on that. And what else? Oh, I just played Amelia Earhart in Wanderer. It's a VR game for PlayStation that just released very end of January. So that was really fun. Awesome. With Odd Boy was the developer in New Zealand. That wasn't a Kiwi accent at all. Cool. I just tried.
I'd like to hear your best New Zealand accent.
I mailed a Geekscape shirt to Australia. We had this Geekscape listener down there who had he was part of our fundraiser for a short film a few years ago. And I was like, I got to mail this dude his shirt. And he made a video for us, this guy, Brad Abrams. And he's like, hello, mate. I got your t-shirt and all this stuff. And I was like, I'm going to try and say his accent on the show and it's going to be terrible. So I'm going to cut it there. But Brad, thank you, dude, for the video. It's really cool seeing you on the opposite side of the planet with your Geekscape shirt. He's asleep right now, but I think he'll get this.
He's got
young kids, so maybe.
Oh, well, then he's definitely awake right now.
Where are you from? Where'd you grow up, Liz?
I grew up in New Jersey, very proudly. Yeah, northern New Jersey, the New York part, I guess you could say.
Is that a thing that like Jersey people do to associate themselves in New York? Because a lot of people from northern New Jersey are like, the New York part.
No, I do
not
it.
Not like the.
Yeah, not the rest. No, I do it for the benefit of the non-Jersey people because, Jersey sort of like it's either your like the Philly part or the New York part, I guess, or North and South Jersey. So I guess I could say North Jersey. That would be more independently minded. The Taylor Ham part. I'm from the Taylor Ham part of the state.
Yes.
Not the pork roll part.
Not the pork roll part.
We've had many discussions about
it. The other part, they call it a pork roll.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, it is the exact same atrociously delicious product, however.
It's such a strange experience. I finally had it for the first time over the summer when I got engaged, and I can't even describe it. It's almost citrusy.
What the hell is it?
You've never had it, London?
I mean, I know the geographical distinction between the people who call it the pork roll and people who call it the Taylor ham. I know that north-south stuff, and one day it will end in brothers against brothers bloodshed. But what the hell is it? Is it like a candied ham? It's like one of those. It's like a those hams that have like the glaze stuff on like a honey baked and stuff like that.
No, yeah, so as Mark describes it, it's as if like bologna, but tasted the way you wanted it to taste. Is how he describes it.
So it tastes like a turkey sandwich, because if somebody's like, "Here, have some bologna," I'm like, no, "Got anything else?"
It doesn't taste like it's healthy for you,
no,
specifically. Oh. No. But it's definitely like, oh, my arteries—they're closing right now. But it's so good, Liz. Would you describe it?
Yeah, I think everybody has a different interpretation. I'd say it's kind of like a fusion of what's it called, Spam. Kind of Canadian bacon a little bit.
Yes. Okay.
And then some otherworldly substance, and it's all just pressed.
Like mystery meat?
Yeah, it's all kind pressed. Of. But it's so salty and good. It's
Do you have something with it? Are there or do you have it by yourself? Like
a Taylor ham, egg and cheese is pretty much, you can't top that combo. Yeah. Yeah. It just
I will say,
why hasn't this stuff made itself west? Is all I want to know.
Technically, it is. I guess you can get it at the Grove. Specifically,
it's very classy. Like,
it's like one of those that you can only get at the Grove. Maybe, I don't know, but it hasn't been a big thing out here. I've only recently discovered it. I also, when you go for Taylor ham, it's almost like you just go for broke with it. And I had a slice of Taylor ham cooked and then put on top of a donut. And
holy shit.
I know. I was like, I feel everything inside me crying, but it was so good.
Really?
Especially after spending the entire day swimming and everything and just wanting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, exercising and that stuff. That healthy. That's not a prerequisite. Kate, I'll do this thing with Katie where whenever I have fast food, I'll use the portrait mode on my phone to make it look beautiful.
It's so cute.
And I'll send her a picture of whatever I'm eating. If it's like Popeyes, McDonald's, Burger King, whatever.
But this is like every day too. This isn't just this happened on Friday.
No, it's not infrequent. It happens. It happens regularly. And I just want to let Katie, just a little reminder for Katie, who had voice on the show earlier, months ago or in the past, recent, like the pressures that she feels from motherfuckers being like, women's got to exercise. Women's got to be this. Women's got to be that. And I send her these photos and I go, fucking eat whatever the fuck you want to eat, Katie, because one day we're going to be in the damn ground. Yep. And you know what? Big Macs taste good.
They do. They do. But they don't really taste good. Great when you have them day after day. After
The novelty would wear off real quick.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I had a salad today.
Congratulations.
Tomorrow.
I'm really proud. I really am.
Tomorrow, it's going to be savagery.
It's going to be Taylor ham on a salad. Yeah.
Exactly.
And you know what Geekscape is? I know we promised to talk to y'all about video games and comics and stuff. And you're like, what the hell is this?
No, Taylor ham.
But you know what? What do we do here, Katie? There's three things that we do here on Geekscape. We
educate, proliferate.
Entertain. No, we don't do
and conjugate. That is what we do here.
That's what we do. Right. It's entertain, inspire, and educate. And that was your educational portion of the show. Somebody over on YouTube, Liz, says, have you seen the latest Brawlentine's animation on the Brawl Stars YouTube channel? That it probably involves you because you're in that Brawl game.
Man, they didn't tell me about it.
We used your voice. You want us to pay you for it? No, I'm kidding.
You got to share the link with me actually. No. The thing I did something for Brawl Stars like a year ago, a year and a half ago. And I can't remember if it was for like Valentine's Day ish kind of,
sort of
I can't remember. Anyway. Yeah. I think I, I think.
Reads.
I think I may have been left out of this one.
Okay.
But
if you use her voice, I'm just warning you.
Yeah.
Brawlsters. Yeah. We're going to send, Shane O'Hare over there to litigate.
You don't want him to be the charge.
You don't want Shane litigating. Shane tried to sue a company here in California. He lives in Alaska because he ordered a graphics card for his computer. It wasn't working properly because it was missing like a washer or something simple that he found a fix on that a 12-year-old told him how to do on YouTube. But before he'd done that, he'd poured like all this like cooling goop all over the thing and fried it. And then because I think it didn't come with instructions, he threatened to sue the company in California.
An 800 number and it didn't really go anywhere.
Can you go to this warehouse in Chino, Jonathan, and see what it looks like? I can only get so close on MapQuest. No, let's not do that. I'm not driving to Chino for you, buddy, and serving papers. Jim Dooley is over on YouTube, and he says, hey, Katie and Liz forever. So, yeah, I agree. Let me see myself out.
Jim Dooley, fantastic composer and wonderful human being, has a live show that he's doing in Burbank. Liz, help me with the details.
Yeah, at the Colony Theater. Shout out to Jim. Yes,
he's very funny stuff. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. We're gonna see it on March 26th.
Yeah, right? We are.
Buy tickets. Do it.
So y'all are getting back out there. Y'all are going back to the live events, going back to theaters. I know I have Batman tickets. We'll be talking about the Batman here in a few weeks. But Katie, you went to see this Uncharted movie?
I went and saw Uncharted this last Friday.
Without me.
All of Friday, you were just mad at me because two things happened.
We'll get to all the umbrage I have towards you.
Okay, cool. But yes, this Uncharted movie. Uncharted in theaters, and listen, if you thought Naughty Dog was relentless with bad guys and things like that, it's not necessarily the case in this movie. It's a fun popcorn movie. It is it's like a superhero movie without the superhero effects. I will say, don't look too in depth into some of the puzzles because you might be a little bit like, oh, that was weirdly convenient. Don't worry. I feel like you have to give a little bit of grace for some of this, but it's interesting to see Sony doing such a big property on the big screen. And I thought they did well. I thought it was fun. It was a great action movie. Wahlberg is hilarious. Maybe not. Not the Sully I was envisioning, but I think because Wahlberg was attached to this as Nathan Drake, the main character, and then just
he was.
I think so. Yeah. And then stayed on. And he kind of aged out of the role, so now he's playing Sully. One of our friends asked us, like, who would you cast for Sully? And I was like, ooh, I could not think of anything. And someone said Idris Elba, and I was like, ooh, that would actually be really cool. But yeah, no, I thought it was great. You don't get to see him in his, like, gun holsters until the very end of the movie, which is a bummer. But it's sort of the meeting of Sully and all the shenanigans and the treasure digging and everything. It's fun. It's a blast of a movie. I'd say see it in the theaters. If you're not comfortable with the theaters at all, wait for it. It'll come out on like HBO Max or Disney Plus or something at some point. Actually, it's a Sony product, so probably not on Disney Plus.
Yeah, you're gonna.
It'll be on the PlayStation Network.
Yeah, if y'all got Crackle, you can watch.
Right, there you go.
Yeah. Or Tubi.
I watched something on Tubi the other day. Somebody had their movie on Tubi, and you just had to sit through, you know, it's like sitting through ads on Hulu.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. I was like, okay, I can see Tubi. I can see why Tubi is paying a lot for content right now.
Yeah.
So Tubi's kind of out there. The one thing with Naughty Dog, Katie, is like, those games feel like you're playing a movie. There are a lot of cinematic cutscenes.
Yeah.
Did they just take a lot of the cinematic cutscenes from the game and put it into the film? Because like the sequence, like with the airplane and stuff, you see that in the trailer, right. And you're like, oh, that was in the game.
And that's a cool opening shot. You catch up to that later in the movie, but it's one of those where you start in the action of it, which is smart. And then you kind of flash back to him as a kid with his brother, Sam. And then move on. He is a kid. Well, that was the one thing I have to say is that like there were several shots, like clearly Tom Holland worked out, you know, obviously he's constantly working out. He had a shirt off in several scenes, and I just felt like he was like a little brother, and I was like, you don't have to do that. Like, cute, but like, you're just not old enough yet.
It was like seeing Kylo Ren with his shirt off, and you're like, what? What's happening here?
That was a different
thing.
They
shouldn't kiss? Oh, they're kissing. Oh, whoa, this, okay. I guess they're kissing now.
I weirdly felt very protective of Tom, and I was just like, you don't have to subjugate yourself to this. Like, the
sexualization. Gratuitous.
Yeah. It wasn't. It was like, they had some really great moments. He's, you know, it's hard to get past the Peter Parker, you know, he does a really good job. He's a little bit more savvy and quick-witted. I mean, Peter is very quick-witted to begin with, but Nathan Drake he's more in, at least in the games, he's a little bit more oily, more like, you know, he's kind of
what?
He's basically Nathan Fillion. Like,
sure.
That's what everybody
people talked about that for a long time, and I'm like, I don't know if Nathan Fillion, you know.
I mean, unfortunately he's on age out of the role. Maybe he could play a good Sully, but he's just so quick-witted and like and very smarmy, especially with the ladies, and then seeing Tom Holland do it, I was like, "Oh."
He does get oily in this. Oily is a definition.
I could date you. Like, I'm a slick guy.
Like a fucking lamp? I don't know. Oily, like I don't
know. Liz, oily. Do you know what I mean?
It's probably like, in the script. It's like an oily.
Yeah, there's that too.
Enters frame.
An oily treasure hunter. Yeah. An oily, he's got a gleam in his eye, and he's oily.
I would know what that means.
I guess I envision it as like someone's a little bit too slick, like who's like great with the pickup lines, great with sliding in, grabbing the drink, you know, like.
Yeah, he's a player.
Yeah, player, yeah.
Somebody asked me, is this like the male, you know, Laura Croft? And I was like, well, wasn't Laura Croft just Indiana Jones with the, I can't keep, you know, yes, they're all treasure hunters. And I do want to see this. This looks like, you said it was fun. Someone else said it was like a loud popcorn movie, leave your brain at home kind of fun.
Definitely
thing.
Remove the brain. Like, Mark leaned over to me at one point and he's like, I think I just found a treasure. And it made me laugh really hard. But yeah, I mean, you can't really get beyond Tom Holland and, you know, Mark Wahlberg just being themselves. But apart from that, it's a fun romp of a movie. They go several different places. The other actors in it are very good. There's two actresses. One is like the main evil, and then there's another one that's kind of like their sidekick.
Secondary
not
evil.
Not really an evil.
Were you about to say
like,
side piece?
Not okay. Side. Well, almost in a way. But they're both very good, and they're very rich.
How is Antonio
ripped.
Banderas?
Oh, Antonio Banderas is great.
Yeah.
He's
fantastic. Yeah.
I honestly kind of forgot he was in it.
How dare you?
I know.
How dare you?
He would have made a good Sully too. I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah, he could be oily. He could be definitely oily.
He could be very oily.
You know what? We need to make an all oily movie. And I think that would be fun.
I feel like
Nathan
DiCarlo
over on Nathan over on Facebook says, I've heard mixed reviews. Yeah, no, I've heard somebody say it'd be like, oh, it's terrible. But, you know, what do you, it's a, have there been good video game movies besides the
Sonic?
That's it. That's the one. The one that didn't get the Oscar, Sonic.
it
Sonic 2. Oh,
we'll
you know, Liz that. Should be in Sonic 2. Oh, it's a sequel.
I should.
Are you in Sonic 2?
Not yet. Not yet.
Let's get you in Sonic 2.
We got to get you in that Sonic 2. Let's play like one letters. Of the rings or something. I don't know.
What,
like,
whatever. I'll do whatever.
Yeah. Be like, ling. Make like a ding sound, like a ring. Like a. That's it. That's your audition. Let's send it in. Yep. Let's send it in.
It's going to ABNC.
Jim Dooley, your buddy does say, can Liz talk about doing VO work for Disney?
Yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah, I mean, technically
NDAs and all that, but what can you do?
Yeah, well,
what can you do?
What can you say?
I mean, I have a Disney Plus commercial. That's probably what he means. So technically, yes, I've worked for Disney. But they can call me if they want me to be in, you know, the
all the
Disney version of Sonic. Yeah, anything else? Yeah, So,
yes,
but
it's a great commercial. If you've seen it, it's like a tour guide going through the streets. It's animated, and Liz is the tour guide. I feel like I catch her voice on random things, like commercials or whatnot, every now and then, because every time I hear it, I'm just like, oh, such a honey voice, and I'm like, oh, I know that honey voice. That's Liz Sada. Like, you pop up on like commercials all of the time. You can hear her.
Very random. I'm extremely
Is it insulting that she recognizes your voice? Are you not supposed to be like a chameleon of a million voices? Is it insulting to her?
No,
to you,
no.
That I think Katie says that.
Well, no, it just means that Katie knows me well. And and yeah, I think it's a compliment. I think it's good.
You know? All right.
Yeah. Because right. Well, I mean, when I'm watching something and I'm like, oh God, whose voice is that? That I know that voice. That's
right.
To me.
You got to look it up, right? Mm-hmm,
absolutely. Yeah. So I'm
peaked. We've been doing that a lot too. What was it? What was it like on Oxenfree? Like, were you recording just in your own home? Did you have to go into a studio?
Yeah. We started it at the very end of 2020. I think. Yeah. God, time. Oh, wow. Time. What is time anymore?
It means nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, we recorded it. Some things I can't say. But we recorded it for at least, you know, over the course of a year. So sure. It's very like disjointed as far as like the process. You're every session's usually 2 to 3 hours. On average, you're just getting a huge Excel sheet with a ton of different branching dialogue. Well, if you've played Oxenfree, you know, it's sort of a choose your own adventure. We're recording different options for the characters that you as the player can pick. And so there's all these like branching dialogue scenes and everything. So, and we don't have any context, you know, you don't know necessarily who you're talking to. You don't necessarily know where you are, what's going on, anything. So you're like in a vacuum. And that's where like the writer/director will be like directing me. I'm in my booth at home because we couldn't be in the studio. And we're going through and he's like, all right, so here we're, you know, can't say, but you're, you know, stressed or, you know, whatever. So it's a team effort. But it was all remote. So that was good and bad.
Was there any lines that you were just like, I don't know in what context this is, like you were so lost and confused.
What's a Taylor Ham?
yeah, exactly. Oh yeah. Riley Poverly, big Taylor Ham fan. I should have made that suggestion. Yeah, for sure. Oh my God. Like I think it's funny when you like see a line and you're like, oh yeah, I know what this line, like, I know how I'm going to deliver this. And you're like, oh, I nailed it. And then they'll just be like, let's do three more, except this time you're like hurt and you've just been hit by a boulder and you know, it's like, Oh, okay. And you like thought you gave this like great emotional like performance. Like, no, you're just sort of saying,
moving
this.
On.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. That was a choice.
Yeah. So, it was a choice. Right. Yeah. Good. That was great. But yeah. So, I like countless times. Yeah. Cause you just have a line. You don't even know. And you're obviously not working opposite your like Jacob, who's played by Joe Bianco. We're not in the session together. So it's just me saying the line in a vacuum and kind of imagine it, or, you know, conjuring up the circumstances around it. Yeah.
They're still on Excel sheets. Like, I remember writing dialogue for video games into those Excel sheets, and there was no flow on the writer's behalf. I was getting no flow because I was like, okay, there's eight characters that could be answering.
Oh my God.
They haven't fixed that format. It is still Excel sheets.
It's
with
still Excel sheets.
Disparate.
Yeah.
I will say my brief stint of correcting grammar for Russian mobile video games, it was yeah.
Oh man. Can I tell you about weren't that was no video game. You were directing the invasion of Ukraine. That's what you were doing.
No, that's exactly
you were like it was like Ender's Game. They were like, is video game, but really it's just Ender's Game and you're just like directing military troops and it's Katie's voice. That's what you done, dude.
Yeah. No, but
how could you sleep at night?
I, you know, very poorly. I think I told you before the show began. I don't get much sleep. It's probably because I'm drinking coffee at 6 p.m.
Always read the fine print, Katie. Always read the fine print. Yeah.
Well, and that's the crazy thing. They were very specific, though. Like, they're, you know, if you do anything out of place or, like, too much of a word, like, it's, like, they're very strict on the parameters. But they always do it in an Excel spreadsheet. And I remember one time I had this huge assignment. They told me a huge assignment. And they're like, how long do you think this will take you? So I, like, you know, overestimated because I was like, oh, I'll get this done in a half hour or something. And then I looked and I didn't realize that they had like extra tabs at the bottom. So
those
like,
tabs at the bottom. Oh, you got to check those tabs.
Man.
Yes.
And that's the thing that drives me crazy, especially about like Excel editing. I was like, no. And then I was like, oh, I guess I will fill this time. But yeah.
Katie, you could have started World War III.
I probably did.
Earlier.
I think I probably like planted the seeds.
I think you did.
Wow. Yeah.
For good old Katie. Granddad Putin.
I don't know.
Remember when everybody was taking that... Remember that app where everybody was like aging themselves and they found out that it was like a face scanning software and it came from Russia and they were like, don't scan your face into that game. That face scanning thing. It's Russian. They're going to take your face and they'll be able to scan it into stuff. No. That was Katie.
Well, and if anybody wants like an editing job, they keep knocking me up for like more work. And I was like, I told you I have a full-time job now.
Yeah. Cause the invasion's in high gear, Katie. Yeah.
They're like, please. I was like, I'm sorry.
You got to Yeah, you're going to have to like point them into the ocean or something. You got to figure that out, Katie. Katie, you can save democracy.
I could. I totally could. The problem is
you could save freedom.
A lot of them were like match three games. So I'm not totally sure how much matching the three gems is going to help me change the world. But you never know.
It's all a code.
People didn't think Facebook posts were going to like shift the 2016 election. People didn't think those meme shares were going to like change the geopolitical face of this planet. But you done did it. So you better match those gems right, Katie.
Which is actually, that kind of is a tie-in to a new show Severance, which has this sort of like matching like code thing, but that show is fantastic. I know, Liz, you were interested in watching that.
That's the Ben Stiller show, right?
That's queued up for later. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
It's like Ben Stiller directed it.
There are two, yeah.
And Adam Scott's in it.
Adam Scott's in it, yeah. Actually also
there's a lot of people.
Oh gosh, he just came in. We watched the second episode last night and I was like, what, how is he here?
Okay, Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken. Yeah, yeah. I was like, wait, what? I was
she like, nailed it.
It was so shocking that I was like, wait, did we just see that? Is Christopher Walken in the show? But yeah, it's a kind of shocking. It's a very good show. The female opposite's actually really good too. I haven't heard of her before, but she's really good. And Adam Scott is in a position. He's a new kind of character that I've not seen out of Adam Scott, and I'm here for it. It's if you like Devs on Hulu, it's very much in this kind of weird vein. Also, what was the Jonah Hill show with
where everything's analog? Maniac.
Maniac, yeah. It's very it's very similar feel
with,
kind of
with
dystopian.
Justin Thoreau too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything was analog. It's a little dystopian and it's like and so this one is about a guy who separates his work and home life legally, and like they get into his brain and like say, hey, like when you leave this work, you won't remember anything. Okay.
So it's like highly sensitive stuff, but we don't even really know when we get into like the highly sensitive stuff what it is exactly that they're doing, and it feels like a match three type of game. But yes, so at work you're basically one split personality, and then at home you're a totally different. And there's a reason why Adam Scott decides to do this in his own personal life. You start to slowly figure out that like maybe not all is as it seems, and do people go into this willingly, and there are other departments. It's a really cool like slow reveal of very odd things.
Highly
that actually sounds cool. I was on the fence because I liked the Jonah Hill show. I liked that Maniac miniseries. I thought that was really well designed and really well done. This one, I mean, Ben Stiller's kind of been doing non-comedy
It feels like he's really going great way. The Jordan Peele route, honestly.
He's doing some cool stuff.
You know, like something with like a little bit more meaning. There's one channel that we follow on YouTube called New Rockstars, and he does breakdowns of things like Marvel shows and things like that. And I really want to do a breakdown of this because there's so many details that I feel like I'm missing just at first glance. So I might have to go back and rewatch that show.
Well, Bolt T, who's a very loyal listener, he says, I like very odd things. He's over on YouTube and says that. So Bolt T, yeah, dude. Bolt T, you finished that Peacemaker yet? You going to go back and listen to the Peacemaker special? Like, have you finished it yet? He got like 10 minutes in the Peacemaker special and says, oh, I haven't watched it yet. I'm going to bail. And cool. I hope you pick it up later. I'm looking forward to that one now that it has Katie's endorsement. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's so much content out there that I can't keep up. We started watching Pam and Tommy, and I think the performances, like the performances of those actors are phenomenal.
Also really great music too.
Music, everything about it is like really well done. I just feel bad for Pamela Anderson the whole time because like she really is the victim in this whole thing, and they portray her. And Lizzie Collins, is that the name of the actress? She's phenomenal.
She's really good. And
everybody's phenomenal on this show, but they really portray her as somebody who was exploited. And it was probably the smartest person out of any of them as an individual. She's smart. She's passionate. She's focused on what she wants to do career-wise. And she just gets steamrolled by men being men in this situation. And it's horrifying to see it all get out of her control. In the victimization that happens, and you can't reel that back in. That sex tape went everywhere. Like I was there in the mid 90s. I remember hearing about the freaking sex tape and just,
it's like all God, the news like, talked about.
It was a horror movie.
Yeah.
And you have the beginnings of TMZ and that whole like crazy celebrity news thing starting up after OJ. And that was like the next thing that they turned to. Like after OJ, they turned to the Pamela Tommy thing. And so watching this is giving me like PTSD, and I can only imagine, like, I mean, I guess Pamela didn't give like the endorsement of the article that it's based on, didn't give an endorsement of the show. And you can see why, because it feels exploitative of something that was already exploitative of her.
Mm-hmm. You know? I would want to revisit that.
I have to watch it in moderation.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm looking for something happy to watch. And Liz suggested Yellow Jackets.
I did. And you know,
I'm kidding. It's like Lord of the Flies, right? It's like Lord of the Flies.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, there are elements of that.
And Lost and all that stuff.
Yeah. It's kind of, I guess, I don't know.
Is it another trippy show?
It's a little trippy.
I'm not totally trippy. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know a whole lot about it.
Yeah.
I got to watch it. Everybody and their mom's telling me to watch it.
Yeah.
I've heard that too.
And the pilot episode is, I did not like it. Like I was like, what? Like I couldn't get into the tone really. I was like, what is it? What is this show? And then once I watched the second episode, I was like, okay, all right, now I understand. This is the tone. There's a lot of sort of 90s nostalgia and like kind of 90s style acting also in the first episode. Oh. And I was a little thrown by it. And then it really kind of immerses itself. And like I'll watch Juliette Lewis and Christina Ricci in anything. But yeah, like the actors are good. And it's intense. It's definitely intense. And if you don't like gore, I wouldn't watch it. But yeah, it hooks you, man. It hooks you. So recommend.
Okay. So
I'm in. Yeah. I think that third actress.
Yes. And
we got to find her name in Geekscape. If you're in the chat, help me out.
Yeah, she's great.
She's been in everything for years playing housewives and girlfriends. And I just think she's so adorable and so good at what she does. And she plays these characters that sometimes are like doormatish, like characters
in this
situation, but she has this sensitivity and this depth to it. That she was in a revenge movie with Elijah Wood.
Is it Melanie Linsky? Tawny Cypress?
I think it is.
I think Melanie Linsky. Right, yeah.
And she's in this movie with Elijah Wood that was just like somebody was at, like a neighbor was fucking with her. And she goes and says, you know what? I'm going to team up with Elijah Wood, who's this weird kid in the neighborhood, and we're going to fucking get revenge. And it was so much fun watching that film. I'll find it on the Geekscape Facebook.
Yeah,
I'll put it on the Geekscape Forever Facebook group. Nathan DiCarlo, he's like, yo, I finally had the chance to watch 1833 on Paramount Plus. I'm surprisingly enjoying it. Only one season, but definitely worth the watch. I've heard the same thing.
Paramount Plus,
Picard is starting up again. You get half of the next.
You're going to get Q on
Discovery.
That? Yeah.
There's so much content, Katie.
Big shout out to my good friend Amanda Jaros, who is in 1833. I'll try and get her on the show. But it looks fantastic. And like the detail that they went into that, especially with the costumes and everything and the setting, it sounds pretty amazing.
Second season, we got to get Liz on there.
Yep.
like the kind of like training wheel season is over.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And now they're ready.
I'm like, what's going on over there? Yeah. I did watch the pilot.
She didn't do first season.
I'll confess. And I didn't love it. Katie always, I deserve this, but they always joke that I hate everything. And that may be sort of true occasionally.
But when this gives you a compliment, you know it's coming from a truthful place.
See, exactly. Exactly.
Or you know there's a second part coming.
Right. Exactly.
Or she's just being randomly kind.
Yeah. I'm going to sideswipe you with the trailer.
Yeah.
I think we did this, Katie. You had recommended that new Reacher show.
I did.
And I couldn't get through the pilot. Because everybody's like,
it's pretty cheesy.
You just got to get to the fight scenes. The fight scenes are awesome. I could not get to the first fight scene because it turned into a procedural so aggressively fast I was like, I don't feel like a procedural. I feel like a character based show, which I know that show, if I invest in it, will become that. And I think the one thing I think about that I liked about Reacher was it was very clean in its storytelling and especially its silent storytelling. I was like, okay, I get this. This is really good. But then it really went into the whodunit pretty fast. And I was like, I still want to know if I want to hang out with these people first. But I liked what I saw. I just wasn't feeling it. And then you, speaking of mysteries, you in procedurals, you liked that new Murderville show. Welcome to Murderville.
Welcome to Murderville. It's
what a
hilarious.
Weird concept of a show.
It's really great. So if anyone doesn't know about it, basically the premise is that Will Arnett is a detective trying to solve a murder each episode. So it's very episodic. Then they have a special guest detective who is someone very famous, like Conan O'Brien or Marshawn Lynch is one of them. And they don't have a script. They have no idea what's going to happen. So they have to improvise their way through this murder investigation. And at the end, they get to try and guess and see, like, if they, from all the details and the clues that they were given, if they can guess the murderer correctly. And then the chief comes in and tells them whether they're right or wrong. It's really well done.
I would love that, I think. Yeah.
I think you would. Yeah. I really do. Yeah. It's very funny. The first episode was with Conan O'Brien, and if you haven't seen Conan just improvise, it's like he's scripted. It's unfortunate because they start with such a strong improviser.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, you're like, there's no way that can't be scripted. That how did he think that fast, or how did they like figure this out? And it's really well done. Also, the one with Camille Nanjiani is one of my favorites because I think it's the first time you see Will Arnett break character. I don't know how many shots.
Oh, no, he breaks character in the Conan one, too. I was watching them like smirk and try not to lose their shit multiple times in the Conan one. And Nathan's here and he's back and he says, oh, that show, I wasn't a fan. Improv is one of those things that works in a specific format, like comedy bars or the stage.
That I think improv works a lot.
Film. I think Judd Apatow does a good job of like improv. Obviously, people like Christopher Guest do an amazing job of having the actors improvise. But Katie, I'm going to side with Nathan on this one.
Interesting.
I went to bat twice on one episode of the show.
Good
and it just didn't work for me. I thought it's so vignette-ish that if they stop to do the improv stuff and the story's not moving and progressing, I'm like, this isn't funny. And I think we're going to make Geekscape shirts. Don't take offense at this, Katie. We're going to make Geekscape shirts that say friends don't invite friends to
their improv shows.
Level one improv shows.
Fair.
Because improv is one of those things.
That is a great shirt.
Like,
as Liz and I both know.
Improv is hard. And Katie, I invited you to be my co-host because you are fucking fearless and you are the funniest person I know of any gender or any height. And I have so much respect for what you do. If it doesn't work, I didn't have an end to this show. And I was like, it just felt like an inside joke in a lot of ways. Like, hey, isn't this funny? And I was like, you still gotta. still got to make it good, and you need a writer. I think you need a writer on some of this stuff, or an editor.
Yeah. And that, and I mean, I think they do, and I think they clip around it really well. I don't know if they do the Christopher Guest style of just three takes only, and that's
I think The Office put the fucking end to that. Like, I think Christopher Guest said that when The Office and these shows started doing the mockumentary format and proliferating it and doing it so incredibly well, Christopher Guest looked up and he was like, I don't need to make another movie. These people are doing phenomenally well every week. And that was kind of cool to hear Christopher Guest say, even though Christopher Guest is the man and we miss him. And like seeing Michael McKean, who's like his co-conspirator in a lot of these, seeing him do drama and Better Call Saul. Yeah. And stuff right. Like that, yeah. Like,
also
phenomenal.
Wow. Yeah.
There are no better actors than comedians. There's no better actors than Liz Seda. No better actors. I'm telling you that, Geekscape. You want good drama? You cast a comedian. You want good comedy? You cast a comedian. Or Jean-Claude Van Damme, don't tell him it's a comedy. That is what you do.
Liz, if there was any current show that you're watching or you love at the moment that you would like to be on, what show would you do?
If you could... two of them right now, every time I watch it, I'm like, God, this must be so fun to do. I am loving The Righteous Gemstones on HBO right now. It just looks like it's just, love it.
I do that with some TV, but not that. Yeah.
And then, Katie, we've talked about this, but the British version of Ghosts, I'm like, what a fun, like, you know, it's kind of fantastic repertory show. And, you know, it's just so clever. What's the story with it?
I have talked about the show almost every single time I came on. Yes. Okay. So there,
Katie, you haven't been on the show in a year.
It's true.
So wonderful. Yeah. Not the American version.
I only know about the American version, which Katie said was the greatest show ever made.
No.
Katie said, I love that.
Nope.
She said, this is what I'm looking forward to in 2022 Geekscape. So I'm looking forward to more Ghosts, American version. And I'm looking forward to this documentary called Morbius with Jared Leto. That looks beautiful. Those are the two things she said she was looking forward to in 2022. That's what she said.
This is the conversation I had with Incel.
Yep. That's what she said.
No, so the American version is its own thing. It's from the British version. The British version you can see on HBO Max right now. I can see you too.
I know you want to go see Morbius.
No, I don't. I really don't. But anyway, but Ghost on HBO Max, the British version, it's so quaint. It's so funny. What era would you want to be, a ghost or would you want to be a friend of Allison's?
Oh, I would definitely want to be a ghost. Oh God!
It's a haunted house thing.
So basically, what happens is this: this woman inherits basically a manor, and she doesn't know it's a long lost great aunt or something like that. So she has no real mental connection to the house, but she comes in. Circumstances happen, and she can see the ghosts that are there from every era of time of people who have died.
That's cool.
There's a caveman. There's a guy from like World War II. There's.
Are they aware of each other? Are the ghosts interacting with each other? Yeah. Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Very much
perfect. Overlapping ghosts. Yeah. That's great.
No, and it's very repertory, like Liz was saying, in that like you have upstairs ghosts and you have downstairs ghosts, and they play both parts. They play ghosts. Yeah. It's very fun. Yeah. I think they even play. I think it's Robin. Robin, who's the caveman. Mm-hmm. I think he also plays the headless guy. I think so. It's one of them. Yeah,
And is there like a What We Do in the Shadows kind of feel to some of this stuff?
A bit. It's a little bit.
I love that show.
It's more grounded. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not.
There's drama to it.
There's heart. There's heart to it.
That's the thing. It's like not.
It has
just
a lot of heart.
Yeah. It's not thin comedy. Like the jokes are clever. The actors are wonderful. And yeah, it's just like heart, but not pander. Not too much. Like it's.
Yeah.
Strategic. So you're like, yes.
You don't have like the slow push-ins on somebody.
No, only if it's the ghost who died in a witch burning trial, who's just saying, get out. When she realizes that Allison can see it. Yeah, London, I think you and Heidi would actually really enjoy that. I think Heidi especially would really enjoy that show.
Yeah. Yo, she's scared of ghosts.
There are some sort of scary moments, but they're not.
Any acting sounds in the house after the sun goes down,
this
I always have to go check it. And I'm like, yo, like, things creak. Like, we have neighbors upstairs, like, downstairs. We got neighbors next to us. We got, like, that stuff happens. The wind sometimes shifts the door frame and it creaks. That stuff happens. But anytime I get up, she's like, please come back.
Sir, you're engaged now. This is your duty. You got to go out there with the bat. Like,
listen, don't say anything, Geekscape. She's got this letter opener. She's got this ornate letter opener in her like bedside drawer. That ain't gonna do shit.
I could fuck up a couple eyeballs. I'll tell you that.
It'll fuck me up when I try and swing something. I slip and stab myself with it when I fall through a fucking coffee table. Only thing that thing's gonna fuck up is me.
Oh no.
She's got this ornate, stupid jade handled, dumb letter opener thing, and she's always like, take this. If anybody breaks into my house, I do not intend to be within arm's fucking like reach of that person enough to have a day. It's like The Walking Dead when they were like, wait, take this. And they give the person a knife. I was like, these motherfucking things bite you and you're dead. This is what I would do. I'd be like, I'd take your stupid knife and I'd tie it to a damn pole. All right. Which is what do I always say? Best zombie weapon, trident. All right. They can't climb down it. It sticks them. You can maybe throw it with some aerodynamics.
Yeah, but if you let go of your grip, though, what happens then?
No, you're wearing leather anyway. You're wearing leather anyway because those nasty, rotten zombies try and bite you. Their teeth are going to fall out. Like, you got to wear leather. I can't deal with people who are like, hot, I'm wearing my tank top. Yeah, you're going to be hot. Too effing bad. Too effing bad. Pick your battles.
I like that you're cinching yourself now.
You gotta wear the leather because but zombies can't bite through it, scratch through it. You gotta have a distance weapon that doesn't make sound or else other humans will come and take your shit. You gotta have something that keeps the distance, clears a space. Because if these zombies, if they scratch you and they bite you, you are done. It's same thing if somebody breaks into your house. I don't want to deal with anybody. Like, I don't want to hug some dude with a knife between us. I don't want to do that.
I have a baseball bat. Next to my bat.
You baseball bat.
Yeah.
I've got a cricket bat.
Ooh, yeah.
I want to spice it up. I want somebody to have this hesitation of the fuck is, and then they die. See, a baseball bat, they're like, oh shit, she's got a bat. With a cricket bat, he's like, it looks like a bat. What the fuck? Oh, I'm dead.
Yeah.
You got to create the hesitation.
Yeah.
Which is also why whenever I go to investigate, I'm wearing a llama costume. That way they're like, what the fuck's coming at me? That hesitation could be the difference between life and death, Geekscapist. In the llama costume, it's fluorescent pink. They don't know it. They expect somebody coming out in boxers.
A la Fortnite, this llama costume.
It doesn't matter. I got firecrackers going up, all sorts of shit.
You gotta come out,
make a big show of things. So yeah, usually it's nothing, but it's practice sometimes. I'm trying to save the Geekscape. Like, what do? We inspire, entertain, and educate. Conjugate. That's the educational portion of the show. Conjugate.
And conjugate verbs.
Masticulate. All right.
Gesticulate.
Okay. Bolt T says I have pepper spray and a knife. Yeah, that would be that'd be me blinding myself and then stabbing myself in the face.
I mean, that's how I'd season my food in the apocalypse because we know it's all bland food.
Mm-hmm. And like crickets.
Yep.
Yeah.
And human skin. Sometimes. Yeah. It depends. So, Katie, speaking of this post-apocalyptic thing, you're training for the post-apocalyptic. You're doing that through the form of a video game called Horizon Forbidden West. Is that true?
Yes.
This is the sequel to Horizon Zero Dawn?
Yes. The sequel to Horizon Zero Dawn, PlayStation exclusive. It's great.
Why you got
to
rub that in? You're playing on a PS4, though.
I am playing on the PS4.
Can you still brag about that?
Yeah. No, I think I should be able to because it's hard to get a PS5, I think, as anybody knows.
Is.
And the fact that I am considering it just tells me like how far in life I've come because there were so many of these games. I just didn't even have a console to be playing any of this on, but
Katie's origin story, Geekscape, is if you don't listen to Geekscape games, her parents like gave her Nintendo and stuff away because I think they thought like it was possessed by the devil. I don't really know. I paraphrase.
It's fine. There were Bible games.
There were Bible games. That'd be enough to put me off of video games for my entire life.
Yeah. I did really like this one Moses game. I don't remember what it was, but there was something about like the tablets and you had to collect the tablets. I don't remember, but it's a real game.
Terrible. Okay, so you had these Bible games, but now you're living your best life. You're playing video games. You love video games, and you played Horizon
Forbidden West, hidden,
the first one, and then you played this one,
Zero Dawn.
But there was a controversy about the female lead in this game, and and how looking she like an actual doesn't woman. Look like a girl. She looks too buff.
You do understand
it's
that
like,
this
what
is
wrong with you nerds?
Incel-tastic. Incels don't like just Horizon Zero Dawn to begin with because it's a female lead and it's boldly a female lead. And there are there are a lot of really strong female characters and female of color characters throughout this game. And they're badass, and the game only gets more beautiful, more expansive. There's great new abilities. There's this new swimming capability that's fantastic. I'm having fun. I haven't gotten my little thing to make me breathe underwater yet, but I can't wait for that. I'm also terrified.
It's like an apparatus, like a snorkel.
It's like one of the, honestly, kind of reminds me of the prequels when they have the like thing that click in and then
they
just
put in their nose.
Yeah.
Air pressure be damned. Exactly. Water pressure be damned. Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't squeeze our heads like a grape. I guess it doesn't solve that, but whatever.
You know, we're not making such stretches as Uncharted the movie, but we are making some stretches of the imagination with some of the tech here. I mean, so basically, if you haven't played any games, and one of my friends asked, should I be playing this game first or should I go back to the first one? I personally recommend go back to the first one because there's so much lore. I didn't know much about this game or this series of games before I played them.
It's not like a book or something. It didn't come from like something previously. It's an original property.
The very original property. Yeah. As far as I know, I don't think there's any comic. There probably are resulting comics afterwards from this. But no, this is a very original property. And I thought this was like a totally different universe, totally different world situation. But this is actually very post-apocalyptic and is currently technically in an apocalypse of its own nature, but there are sentient robot animals and dinosaur type things that you come to figure out why they are the way they are. I highly recommend going back into the beginning and then exploring the world and getting to understand what just happened to Earth and why she's such a fascinating character. She's really great. My favorite thing about the new game is that she is constantly telling white boys to shut up. It's like, I'm like, she said shut up again. Yay!
And Katie, is this similar like a God of War or a Zelda? Like, what would you compare this to? Is it a third person kind of action? Because I'm still playing through Ghost of Tsushima because I get like a little bit of time to play video games every now and then. But
yes, it's. So Mark's watching me play, and he's like, it reminds me of playing Ghost of Tsushima.
I love that game.
It's very much the same. There's insane amount of abilities and weapons and different things that you can switch between. It's in that style. So it's third person view. You're watching her. She's got different outfits and costumes that you can do and different like weaponry that she can incorporate with all of that. It's great. It's open world. You can go where you want. You can progress on the storyline. You can do side quests. I'm currently grinding on side quests because I want better gear.
Is there a level up system?
There's a huge tree.
You could actually, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, no, and it's the same with the older version of the game and the current one. But there's skill trees that you can unlock different things. You can become more centered on your warrior stuff. You can become more centered on sort of your sneaking abilities, sort of your trap making. Or
can you hit a point where you play as a male character?
I don't think that's part of the game. I don't think you can unlock that, but you might be able to do. I think there are Fortnite skins that you can unlock with like the different makeup and stuff at the moment.
Sorry, man fans.
Always got to bring back to Fortnite.
Yeah. You know how disappointed I was when I got to the end of Metroid and he took her helmet off and it was a girl the whole time. Oh. Bolt T wants to know, does Katie disclose when her reviews are paid ads?
Somebody can pay me. Don't you worry. I'm not being paid for any of this knowledge.
I can verify the authenticity.
How dare you?
It's all pure joy.
How dare you question my Katie's joy? That is your co-host you were talking about. You worship her. You worship Liz Sada.
I don't know about that.
We've been doing these shows for free for your entertainment. You don't come in here and tell Katie she's a fake No, that's my job.
I will, and this is I guess the nerdy side of me, recovering Christian side, where the thing with this game that's really cool, I'm just gonna tie it in real quick because I have to, but one of the cool things about this is that there's so many people in like the new society that don't understand technology, so they end up worshiping it as though it were a god, and I find that fascinating, and I'm probably going to pitch an article to Fandom about this, but just like with the lack of information that people have, the more they deify it.
That's a documentary.
Yeah.
Of now.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying.
That's commentary.
That is
when video games become commentary. That's great. Mm-hmm. I like that that is in there, and that is not accidental at all. I think that's fantastic.
There's like a couple of like factions of people that are like, they're willingly going to die because they just have, because of tradition. They just haven't done anything.
Like, don't look up
the
Adam McKay film. That, wow. So Katie, you're doing a great job of making me buy more video games.
You're welcome.
Why? Yeah, I can't have you as co-host anymore.
I'm the one that helps everybody break the bank. But yes, this game, also, if you haven't played Oxenfree, those games are fantastic. I'm very excited for the second one. Liz, when does that come out officially?
Actually, there's no official release date yet. There was like a leak that it was coming out like beginning of February initially. But it'll be a few more months, but it's coming. It is imminent. Be patient.
Imminent.
Be patient, friends.
So, what, Katie? I got you to go buy comics. So I think there's no, comics are inexpensive compared to video games. And they also don't take as much time. Okay. So you are winning this battle of who can bankrupt who faster. You are winning.
But you are getting me to read more, which is probably best for my brain.
But they're funny books. It ain't, you know,
I mean, Mouse is not necessarily funny, but it was that was a great read. I really enjoyed that this last week.
It's beautiful. Okay, that's our show. It's got to be our show. We've touched on a lot of cool topics. We have more topics, Geekscapes, that we can keep talking about. There's lots of stuff out there. It isn't slowing down. Like I said, we've got the Batman movie coming out. We've got Katie's favorite Jared Leto film, the Morbius documentary, coming out. She can't wait to see how he turns into a vampire.
When this started.
I don't know. It started like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Remember when we were calling Venom the Venom?
Got it.
You can't, now this is the Morbius.
This is the Morbius.
Also, that documentary Moonfall, we haven't even seen that yet.
Oh,
that was cool.
Right.
Did they put the moon back? I don't know. We'll find out when we see the movie. We got a lot to cover. So Geekscapers, I really want you to keep telling your friends about us. The numbers have been incredibly healthy, and I love it. So I guess we're doing something right. And hit that share button, share it with your friends, and also leave us those reviews on whatever podcast you're on, because that really helps our visibility. And when I'm trying to get guests like Liz on the show, she's like, I never heard of you. And I'm like, oh yeah,
not true. I have. Like, I have. Again, because Katie's enthusiasm is both palpable and contagious. Katie's, you're like, what is
and expensive. And yeah, expensive. Yeah. Bold T says, is Cuphead better than Too Much Coffee Man? We haven't even gotten to Cuphead, which Katie and I both watched, and we love the game. We'll get to that in a future episode, because yes, and I love Too Much Coffee Man, which is an old 90s comic reference, indie comic. So good shout out there, Bolt T. Okay, Liz, let's get serious.
Okay, John.
The Geekscapists should follow you on Instagram.
Yeah, for sure. Do that. And you'll see photos of my cat. Yes, follow me. And tune in to my fantastic life, I guess. I don't
know. Liz V. Say.
Liz V. Say.
On Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm on Twitter, too, but I don't really post anything. So.
It's just such a positive side. I don't see why you don't participate.
That's true. I know. It's luring me with its positivity.
Especially as a female in voiceover work.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I do the hell carousel. Where, like, you get on Facebook and you exhaust it, you get on Twitter, you exhaust it, you get on Instagram, you exhaust it. There's no fucking way I'm adding TikTok to that hell carousel. Mm-hmm. But I now call the doom scrolling thing, where you go to different platforms and you realize you've done it like 4 times in 5 minutes. It's just a hell carousel. And I've been
while
doing
you're watching it, something, huh?
Oh, I've been doing it horribly the last couple of days. So I got to really consciously pull myself off that carousel and get back to, I don't know, the real world. But yeah, Heidi and I took engagement photos yesterday, and then last night she was so happy, like she was like coloring them and adjusting them and so and replacing my face with Channing Tatum's. And she's like, what is everybody upset about? And I go, sweetie, like Katie helped Russia invade the Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And she just hadn't been kept up with all that news. And of course I had, because I've been fiendishly like devouring crap news on Twitter all freaking day. And I was like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
To end your day on a downer. But yes, we're going into World War III and it's Katie's fault.
I'm so sorry. Thanks. I didn't mean to. Who thought that my mission trip way back in the day to Kazakhstan would influence me working for a mobile gaming company in order to influence this invasion? I apologize. And I still don't know very much Russian. But
you're a recovering Christian. You are forgiven.
I'm a recovering Christian. Yeah.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault. No, it's not your fault.
Well, Geekscapists, we're going to share a lot more news of what Liz is up to whenever, obviously when Oxenfree 2 comes out, we'll shout that out huge.
I'll let you know.
And then Katie, we can follow you at L Sassy Pants on all the platforms, can't we?
It's true. You can. You can even check out a joke that I wrote for Hoo Ha Ha in the...
Saw that. Yes.
Yes.
That amused me greatly.
I don't even know what that is.
Hoo Ha Ha is Elizabeth Banks' comedy company.
That's so cool.
Yeah. It's a bunch of female comedy creators, all in one. Yeah.
Well, all Elizabeth, I think that's awesome. I think that's really cool that she's doing that. And it's, what is it? Hoo Ha Ha?
Hoo Ha Ha. Which, when I first heard the company,
no, it has a connotation to it. I think it's on purpose.
I didn't Liz realize awesome. The joke of it. This is a true story. I didn't realize the joke of it.
You are Christian.
Well, I know. And I had just come off of a pilot shoot where we were going to be called, Feminine Hijinks. And I said on camera how great it was to do comedy for a company that wasn't based off of a vagina joke. And everyone was like, Katie. And I was like, what? Ooh. And I didn't understand that Hoo Ha Ha was Hoo Ha. It's a vagina joke, too. So sometimes I'm a little bit dumb.
No, don't be like that. There's going to be one dummy hosting this show, and that was my job. Well, follow Katie, and she will link you to that joke. And
yes.
She'll also tell you how awesome she is.
God, it's incessant.
Geekscape
it's
is
every day just telling everybody how great I am.
Yeah,
that's all I got. When you're done with this podcast, you should go and check out the other shows on the network, especially before our time with Gelsey Laurie. I was the guest this week. We talked about Billy Wilder's Double Indemnity, which I think is the best noir film. And I think a lot of people say it's the best noir film. So we get into the weeds on that one because I'm a fucking film nerd. And you're going to see how badly when you listen to that episode. So enjoy that. For Liz Seda, Katie, and myself, Geekscapist, thank you so much for joining us. Geekscape forever, over and out. And we'll see y'all next week.
Bye.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.